Hey, welcome to the Bead House. Jeff here.
Chris here. Thank you for having me back.
As always.
This is the, you're actually at scout camp, but doing this anyway episode.
Correct.
Okay.
We'll have this one prepped and ready to go, and it'll auto-fire probably 12:01 a.m. on Thursday. Yeah. Just after the clocks turn to Thursday so that it counts for.
But know. Guys, this is how we manage our time because we have a lot of things we got to do. So.
Yeah. No. And well, Chris is off doing fairs and events and things like that. And I'm managing a household and taking my kid to camp. So we got to plan ahead.
But hey, guys, we love spending time with you. And we want to thank every one of our listeners out there. Thank
Absolutely.
You for, because even now, numbers are going up just a little bit here and there, and I'm really happy to see them.
You know, as long as they keep going up, I'm not asking for, you know, thousands and thousands of views or huge numbers of subscribers. Just, you know, I want a core number of people that find this useful and entertaining, or both. One of the two, at least.
Yeah, right? At least one of the two. And secondly, we need to thank Box and Barleycorn for their continued support and sponsorship of the Mead House.
Absolutely. Whether it is equipment or supplies or ingredients, any kind of fermentation on your radar, whether it's mead or beer or cider or wine or kombucha,
cheese, yogurt,
right,
or even just distilling,
they've got you covered.
Not just the equipment, they got the supplies, they got the ingredients, they got the recipes, they got the knowledge, and they got the pom-poms if you need a little bit of encouragement.
They're
all there.
They are friendly, they are happy to lend a ear assistance, and if you come into the Kansas City area, happy to lend you a glass and give you something from tap too.
Yeah, and guys, I'm not the beer. I've said before, I'll say, yeah, I'm not the beer drinker, but their beers ain't bad, even for me.
And usually they've got some kind of cider or meat or something on tap too, yeah. So you don't have to worry about hops.
Yeah, and I've never been disappointed in anything I've done so far. And don't forget, we slab that discount code, MHP10. To give yourself 10% off an online order. And who knows, you know, we've said it before. We didn't say it last week, I noticed. But, you know, if you go into the store and say, hey, can I use the MHP10 code?
They'd probably throw something.
Yeah, and they still have the probably among the most competitive prices you're going to see before you use the code. So,
you know, everybody is competing with the big box retailer in the sky.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
In the warehouse and data centers, actually. But,
yeah, that's, know. They're a problem. They are a problem. I'm thinking about growing bamboo randomly places. That's apropos of nothing. I like growing things. Anyway. But, okay. Yesterday, last week, we talked about
floral meats.
This week, we're going to talk about building meats. This is how we put a meat idea together.
This is an insight into the process. Like, we're going to challenge each other with a concept.
And then we're going to each take that concept and see what we can do with it.
Right. And hey, for the meat of today.
Oh, yes. Let's do that.
This one is from Prairie Rose Meadery. This is the Berry Bomb.
Ooh, Berry Bomb. I like the name already.
Yes. It's a light color for a bomb.
Yeah. I mean, it's berry colored. I'm not going to say it's not berry. It's berry colored.
I would say it's more honey colored than berry colored.
Yeah, but it's a darker honey.
Yes. It's a dark kind of amber.
A little bit of red in there.
It has a slightly reddish tinge.
Oh, but you don't even have to your nose close to the glass.
No, that's definitely some strawberry and probably raspberry.
Yeah, I smell. Is that a blackberry smell in there?
It could be.
Oh, man, I'm like 2 inches away from my glass here. I'm going to go a little bit deeper in here. Oh, yeah, I smell that blackberry. It's got to be a blackberry in there. Let's say.
It says blackberries, black currants, blueberries, raspberries, strawberries, and filtered water.
Aha. So, I don't smell the blueberry, but blueberry doesn't really have a strong smell.
Blueberry is kind of, yeah.
But got straw. Oh, yeah, we can smell those berries.
The strawberry is
shockingly pungent. Pronounced.
Mm-hmm. There must have been a lot in there.
Yeah.
Let's go in for this.
Medium dry?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Maybe a little on the dry side of the semi-sweet.
But nice flavor.
Mm-hmm. Nice little acid punch in the middle there.
Yeah, but not a strong one, just a pleasant
just
addition.
Enough, yeah. It's kind of sitting right on the blade of my tongue.
Yeah. Oh, this is, I am sorry. I need to get more of this. This is good.
Good one. My only complaint, I wish this was a little colder. If this was refrigerator temperature, today's weather.
Really good.
Be nice.
Be really good. And I have one other complaint about it. It's a half-size bottle.
Actually, it's a 500, not a 750.
Oh, so it's a two-thirds size bottle.
Yeah.
I this is the kind of mead chilled. I'd want a bottle and a half to start. This is good.
This could get dangerous if it was just, chilled and available to us,
Yeah.
like whatever, whenever, whatever.
Oh yeah. Well, unfortunately, I know where to get that, so that's gonna happen. Anyway, building meads.
Say hi to Susan for me.
Yeah, you got it. But building meads is not a horrible complex process. However, it is a step by step that you've got to consider all your elements. For example, if I was going to make my standard apple pie, if I want apple predominant, I need something a lot of apple, or in my case, I use apple cider for my base because I need the predominant flavor I want is apple
Sure, that's
by a long shot. If I wanted to have an apple flavored mead, I'd make a mead and add an apples either in the second part of primary or in secondary. So it has some apple taste, but not if I'm making like a fruit bowl thing
Right.
like this one. If I don't want to have, if I want, it's how you want, if you want a balanced one, you have to get not the quantity of berries, the impact of flavor balance. Because a blueberry and a blackberry have an impact of flavor. A strawberry really doesn't without the sweet.
Well, no fruit does without the sweet, but
Yeah.
it's more pronounced in the intensity of the fruit is more pronounced in the case of, a blackberry than it is a strawberry,
Yeah.
for sure.
And then apple is, if I was putting apple in there, I need a lot more apple to balance between the darker berries because it has a milder flavor.
Well, at a lot of juice companies, if you look at the back of like a kid's juices at the grocery store,
First one you go see is apple.
right, apple is the stretch. It's like if we're talking about like a stew or a pasta bowl or whatever, this is the pasta or the rice you put in with the meat to make it, make a pound or two of meat feed an entire family.
Exactly. But apple has a you can get a large amount of juice out of a single apple per se with mild flavor, as opposed to getting a strong amount of juice out of a single blackberry with a lot more flavor. So you have to, that's where you have balance. Now, what you need to do is construct what flavor you want first. What is your primary taste?
Right.
Flat out.
I generally think of this in terms of primary, secondary, and then like tertiary or ancillary.
Yeah. One, two, three, four.
There is generally, I don't even bother with the fourth. Once you get into fours and fives, things get a little muddled.
Yeah.
And sometimes I'll do groups. Like in the case of your apple pie, primary is apple, secondary is pie spices as a
Yes.
round circle. It's not the nutmeg and the cinnamon and the, because,
Clove and everything
right,
else put in, yeah.
because we, those spices together have such a ubiquitous place in our culinary appetites and the goddamn Starbucks pumpkin spice latte and blah blah blah
And
blah blah.
even pumpkin spice has it is ubiquitous.
Right.
In
It is a
itself,
thing.
it is a thing.
So that can be a flavor by itself. We don't need to talk about those four flavors.
Yeah.
Because they play nicely together, they're all warm baking spices anyway.
Yeah.
If there was a contrasting spice, like if you were going to make apple pie with pie spices and wormwood,
Okay, that's a huge jump.
I would say, Chris, why? And then I would go, okay, well, let's put wormwood in the ancillary because we don't want very much of that.
No, we don't want much of that at all. And it's a strong players have used very little.
Right.
But there we go. So here's the challenge we've set up for each other here. Jeff's going to give me a flavor profile or tell me something he wants to taste in mead.
I'm going to give him a mead and I'm going to give him some constraints. He's going to do the same.
And I'm going to re-listen to this thing to write these down because I don't have paper with me right now, but I'm going to do that. But here's the thing. I don't want just the flavor profile.
Okay.
I want you to tell me like ABV.
All right.
I want you to give me some details.
So let's, gentlemen's agreement, let's make a list of the constraints that we are putting on each other. If
Okay.
you put a ABV constraint on me, I expect the same from you,
Okay, fair.
and vice versa. Pull up a Google Doc real quick here.
Yeah, so let me get this ready too, because Lord knows I've used that a lot in my recent past. By the way, I started writing another story just for giggles.
I assume you're constantly writing stories, so.
Pretty much. Either writing or editing.
Now, as far as that primary, secondary, tertiary, obviously this is my shorthand.
Yeah.
This is not what everybody uses. There are five fruits in the mead we're drinking right now.
Yes.
Do you taste five fruits?
I do not. This is what I would call a fruit basket mead.
This is, I would say it's red fruits.
Yes.
I think that's fine. This is another thing that is good to know when you're entering mead competitions, those of you that are kind of new. If you have a bunch of fruits, but it is not clear you have strawberry and blueberry and blackberry, like ask your friends to take a sip and see if they can pick apart the individual flavors without being told those are in there. If it's not clear, you can easily just put red fruits, mixed fruits, something a little bit more generic rather than
Listing
listing
them.
every individual fruit. Because if I am told there is strawberry and blackberry and blackcurrant and raspberry and
Blueberry.
boysenberry, yes, in a mead, I'm going to be looking for all of them. And if I can't find any,
It's going to cost you points.
right. Or it's just going to cost you a steam, which is the same thing.
Yeah.
And if you put something generic like mixed fruit, well, I certainly taste mixed fruit in this.
Yes. And it said berry bomb on the bottle. We expected fruit.
We
That's
got
it.
a lot of berry,
We got a lot of berry.
and I'm not mad about it.
And that's and that would and if it was a judging situation, Jeff would score it higher, and I would enjoy it more because I'm not a judge. But however, if you tell me if you tell me there's vanilla in here, I want to taste the vanilla. If you tell me there's lemon in there and I taste lime instead of lemon, I want to know why, because I'm a little disappointed in you. And that's as a non-judging person. So, do you want to start giving my choice? You want me to give you yours?
Let's agree on constraints first.
Okay.
So for now, I've got a concept, a
Okay.
broad concept, flavors with ranking, like we talked about. You mentioned ABV. I would say give me the source for your flavors.
For example,
Are we going to use whole fruit? Are we going to use whole grains? Are we going to steep it? Are we going to tincture it? What's the thought process?
okay. Okay, what else we got here? That's all I'm really going to ask for in this
I
thing.
think I'm good with that. I don't want to be too.
I don't want to tell you what kind of honey to use because that's just silliness.
I think you should declare that, but honestly, unless you're using a wildflower, I think you should declare that.
Okay.
I think that speaks
Let's
for
just
itself.
say we declare the honey after it's finished.
Yeah.
How about that?
I think that's fair.
Okay.
I think as a gentleman's agreement, we don't need to state that we're going to declare our honey if it's anything other than wildflower, because we would do that
Or
anyway.
clover.
Yes, something legit white clover varietal honey is,
I will declare that.
yeah, is different than the clover we get at
Yeah,
the grocery
gotcha.
store. So
If
I
it's
don't like to call generic honey clover.
okay, fair enough. If it's wildflower or has specific flavors to the honey, we have to declare that. Fair enough?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So, Jeff, yeah, I'll let you start this one because
Okay.
I'm scared, but I want to know.
There is a certain dessert that I think, I don't know if I necessarily remember enjoying it more than any other dessert in my childhood, but I remember it as a ubiquitous part of my childhood.
Okay.
It reminds me of summer in the best ways. It is not the kind of thing that I will reach for every time I go to the grocery store and I'm browsing the ice creams and popsicles aisle and things like that, but it's, I see it and I go, oh yeah, it's happy memories. I want a bomb pop mead.
Bomb pop meat. Okay.
Now, to my way of thinking, there are two approaches you could take to this. For one, you could make three meads, and you could figure out a way to do the fancy cocktail layering, maybe with different densities. Like you got the blue raspberry at the bottom is real thick and heavy,
Like it
so it
does, yeah.
sinks. The cherry is a light little session mead at the top. Sitting and hanging out.
Kind of kill me here.
You could do it that way, but I think the greater challenge, the more practical challenge, is to make a beverage that just tastes like a bomb pop. And for the sake of this is prime sports drink that my kid insisted we bring for his birthday party when they were going to play laser tag, because this is apparently what the cool kids are drinking for, rehydration purposes. But
Oh, awesome. Okay.
this, to me, tastes pretty close to.
A bomb pop. Yeah, it does. Yeah, I have to admit that does taste.
I can taste it and go, okay, yeah, maybe that is a bomb pop.
Okay. Okay. Would you like to be a heavier ABV meat or a
If it's a summer mead, I think it should be a lighter mead. I
Okay.
think 8 to 10.
8 to 10. Wow.
And I'm not going to demand it. You don't particularly care for carbonated, but I wouldn't say no to carbonated.
Okay. If I'm going to carbonate, I'm going to have to do it either here or the hard way with cap tablets because I don't have the equipment you got.
Right.
So.
I'm not gonna demand carbonated. I wouldn't say no to carbonated. It would not hurt my feelings.
Or I have a will you carbonate beverages at home? Those
SodaStream?
SodaStream.
That could work.
This is not out of the question. I mean,
Somewhere around here, while you're doing some thinking about this challenge, I'm going to do some browsing.
okay, so
Oh, we could do this.
okay, now doing a quick search. What is it you're looking at here?
These are stainless steel carbonation caps. These have a bottle lock connector, much like a keg, except these replace the plastic cap on a 2 liter bottle.
Okay.
So I give you these. You bring them over here to record. We pressurize your bottles. You leave them here and let them sit for a week or two. And then the next time we're recording, we have carbonated beverage.
Okay, well, yeah. Okay, now doing a quick search now. The original flavors of a bomb pop are cherry, lime, and blue raspberry. Completely doable by all stretch there. The
Yes.
flavors are distinct and very easy to. I would have thought it was lemon, but it's lime.
It is lime. Yes. It's a
So,
little bit more aggressive of flavor to get past the cherry. And I
yeah.
appreciate the lime in it.
Yeah, so. Now, I'll be honest with you. I don't know the difference between in the flavor of blue raspberry or raspberry. I'm gonna have to do a little research on that myself.
Where do you think blue raspberries grow?
No clue.
They don't.
Okay.
There is no such thing as blue raspberry. Essentially, the reason that raspberries are blue when it comes to candy and popsicles and things like that is because there were too many things that are red.
Okay, fair enough.
And so they wanted to differentiate the raspberry from the cherry and the strawberry and the blah, 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 blah.
Okay, I've had so many things in my garden that shouldn't be in my garden, but that were in my garden. For example, orange, dreamsicle, verbena. When you rub the leaves and you smell your fingers, it smells like an orange sickle. Or one that was barbecue verbena, which did the same thing. You smell barbecue on your fingers after you rub the leaves, the oils.
Both of these are very fascinating to me.
Yeah, and.
Yes. And I have the, is it Superior Licorice Mint that we tried a while back?
Yeah, it
And
was. And chocolate mint, because it has a chocolate flavor. I mean, these things exist. So blue raspberry, I don't know if there's a blue raspberry or not. I didn't have that concept
Yeah,
because.
no, the blue raspberry as a plant is not a thing. That said, I am told that blue raspberry is actually, if you want to be specific, it's the white raspberry variety of raspberries that that flavor is supposed to imitate more than the standard, like red raspberry. But
So it's supposed to be white raspberry.
it's supposed to be a white raspberry. But again, these are guys in lab coats with, chemicals they've distilled to essences in a lab saying, oh, this tastes quite a bit like raspberry. This is a little more like raspberry. This is a little less like raspberry. This is,
Okay.
they're not using the
So it's just
legit
raspberry.
essences of fruit. They're using close enoughs.
Good. I don't have to go to the Culinary Institute and borrow their machinery to extract these. Okay, cool. I like this. What source do you want me to use? Do you want to use the actual fruit, syrup? What do you want here?
You declare.
Okay.
Are you taking this as a three mead challenge or as a single mead challenge?
I am likely going to take this as a two meat challenge.
Okay.
Cherry in one, lime raspberry in the other.
Okay.
Because cherry is such a unique flavor, it has a complete profile.
Yes, it does.
But lime is sharp. Raspberry is not as sharp, but has a better underline. I think I can make those two together, is what I'm thinking right now.
Okay.
So I think I can make the lime and the blue raspberry in one batch,
All right.
flavored in one batch.
I'll hear you out on this. I like both of those flavors and I like them together.
Yeah. But the cherry, I may marry into it because I don't want the cherry to be diluted by the lime, by the sharpness of the lime.
How do you intend to serve this if it's two different meats?
Actually, I'm going to marry them into the bottle.
So this is going to be a blend after the fact.
Yes.
I like this approach, and this is a good approach, I think, because you're trying to get the full flavor of the cherry as well as the blueberry and the raspberry, not blueberry, lime and the raspberry.
Yes.
too many blue things.
Yeah, well, we're
And
drinking one that has blueberry. I get it, man.
the blueberry is not very blue. It's more purple than anything. But, you know,
That's only because they named it before purple was the thing. Anyway, so go ahead.
I like this approach. So what you're going to end with in the bottle essentially is going to be a single mead.
It's single B.
And we're not going to do the fancy like cocktail thing of okay, well, we got the float and the different layers.
I may try that again later because I would like I've never played with density ever.
I think it would be fun from a experiment and a presentation style to do that, but I think that's kind of I would rather do that with just a few different densities of mead we have lying around than try to make a finished product
You
and have
bet.
that expectation every time I open three bottles.
Yeah, I got
Plus, we're talking about killing three bottles every time I want to enjoy a Bob Pop mead,
you.
which is a lot of mead.
That's a lot of me, and that's actually one of my considerations. I didn't want to have three bottles of meat in front of me.
Even three 12-ounce beer bottles is a lot of
It's a
mead.
bottle and a half of meat. You know, that's a lot. But you know, I'm not per se scared of doing the density thing, but I've made seven-layered drinks in a bar. The seven-layer Bouche Café, and it's a pain just building it. I don't know how mead would do that as well.
I gotta think we're talking about like on one end a super heavy sack mead and on the other end a like super light
Actually,
little
the ones that have a higher alcohol content are lighter in
because
density.
alcohol is less dense. That's why you can get negative numbers on your
Yes.
refractometer, of course,
Yeah, I
right?
mean, the reason
Or
I know this is
hydrometer,
because
yes.
the numbers I have when I was building the Pouche Café, the top one was 151 rum. I could light it on fire.
Yes.
And the bottom one was like grenadine, which had no alcohol at all.
Yeah. So instead of sack strength, I should be saying like sugar bomb.
Sugar bomb, yeah.
Right. Like basically, and maybe they are going to be higher ABV or moderate ABV, but they're going to be like sweet, cloyingly sweet berry bomb,
Yeah.
blue raspberry
That's why I wanted
malts.
to make one bottle
Right.
because this was when you said three flavors here, I'm saying, oh, Bouche Café all over again. Oh my God. And I don't know the proof necessary to separate them because if the proofs are too close, they'll just mix.
And is it the is proof going to play a bigger part in this, or is density from the sugar content?
Think proof
You
will play a
know?
part of it simply because the higher the proof, the more alcohol content there is, and the lighter it'll stay on the in the
Right.
stack.
And I think this is another one of those cases where, like, if you've got whatever you're putting on the bottom, I would dose it with some like glycerin too. Just add a little bit
Okay,
extra density.
didn't even think of that, but yeah, that
Yeah.
almost have to be like that,
But that
and
said,
maybe even less glycerin on the second layer, you know.
this is a summertime mead. This is an easy sipper.
Yeah,
I think 8% is, you know,
eight to
plenty high
ten
enough.
is plenty high, and so that's why I wanted to make it in one bottle.
I wouldn't say no to a 6%, honestly.
Okay, so I'll put 6 to 10% is what I'm going to put on my list right here.
Okay.
So okay.
So, what are your sources?
My sources. Okay.
You got.
I'm going to get cherry from Vintner.
Okay, you're going to do the Vintner's Harvest Cherry.
Vintner's
Okay.
Harvest Cherry or Black Cherry, either way.
Okay, I like black cherry.
The lime, I'm probably going to have to use a lime. I'm going to have to make a lime syrup
Okay.
out of lime juice
Okay.
to get what I want out of that. Because lime, although technically it has more sugar, I need the pop of lime really hard. So I may have to make a syrup from lime juice because I don't think Vintner's has a lime. I don't recall ever
I've
seeing it.
not seen it either. I know they have the hazy lemon. I've not seen a lime.
Yeah, I love hazy lemon
Hey,
and
Vintners, hot tip, cherry limeade.
cherry limeade.
Go.
Yeah, go for it. And the blue raspberry, well, the raspberry I'm saying, I might try that as a whole fruit.
I think that'd be because raspberry is one of those fruits that's very potent.
Yeah.
You can get away with probably if you're doing a gallon of each of these, a gallon of the lime and raspberry and a gallon of the cherry. I don't know what you're gonna do with the other 4 gallons of your vintners, but
I'll figure out something.
I'd trust you.
I may make another freezer fruit style meat. Who knows, man?
Regardless, you know, if you're just doing like a gallon of raspberries, you could probably get away with like half a pound of raspberries. They're potent little suckers.
But that's my initial. If I think of anything else that I may want, I'll let you know. This is my initial thoughts on where I'm going to build from.
And part of the spirit of this activity is going and exploring our thought process and our planning stages. All right. So we've got our sources, we've got our concept, we have an idea of the ABV, and we know we want this to be a summer sipper kind of easygoing guy.
Okay. Anything else you're throwing in on this one? I'm not making a wood flavor with a stick. I'm not doing it. I may oak it, but I'm not doing that.
I wonder what wood popsicle sticks are made
No. I've already said no. But anyway, so is that your challenge?
I think that's good. Yeah.
Okay. My challenge to you is I like this is also gonna be a summer mead, so we can stick within the 6 to 10 range.
Okay.
I want you to make me a key lime pie
I like this.
with a graham cracker undertone for the crust. Now, how you do that, I have no clue. This is something I've struggled with in my head for a while, and I want to get your concept on it. I want it still, but I want it chillable and semi-sweet. By the way, on my bomb pop mead, I'm probably going to make it semi-sweet sweet in that range because it's a bomb pop.
If the sweeter you go, the more acid expectation I have.
Okay,
It,
all right.
that needs to be in balance.
No
As
problem.
long as we're cool with that, we're cool with that. So you said it's a key lime pie with a graham cracker crust, still chillable, semi-sweet.
Yes.
Any other constraints? We're talking 68%.
68%. Even if a size 10, I won't be mad.
Right. And I assume in this case, we're talking key lime for the primary flavor, graham cracker, and maybe a.
A creamy undertone.
Right.
Yeah, that's
So.
exactly what I'm thinking right there. I don't want it carbonated because key lime should not be. It should not be carbonated. It should not bubble in my mouth. But I want it, light because it's again a summer flavor. I'm not going to put constraints on you as far as the key lime, but as far as the graham cracker, actually, I'm very little on that. I would like to know that it's a graham cracker-like flavor
Okay.
in some fashion, whether by texture or by taste. But the texture is a taste texture. You know what I mean? The density. But I do want the graham cracker to be lighter than the key lime itself. I want it present, but not take any place on stage per se.
Sure.
That's all I really got.
All right.
Of course, you realize since you told me that bomb pops are a child favorite of yours, I'm bringing bomb pops next time. We can do this.
Say less.
Okay.
Okay. They can go sit in my freezer next to the drumsticks, which are also a childhood favorite.
Oh, yeah.
You know, hang out. All right. So just a little bit of research on my part tells me that commercial graham crackers, such as Nabisco and Honey Made, are primarily made with enriched flour and graham flour. And graham flour, it turns out, is whole grain wheat flour. So what we're looking at is wheat.
Yes.
As far as sources go, for key lime pie,
Key lime is a specific line.
it is a specific lime. You can source the key lime juice relatively easily at some stores. I don't know that I like that juice enough to feature it as the primary of a mead, though.
Fair enough.
Do I need to source fresh key limes?
If you do that, I just because I'm your friend and I don't want you to struggle too much, I would recommend throw some zest in there.
Well, the zest is because the zest contains the oils, that is such a major flavor component. Like, I've got a, this is not a mead related experiment. This is a feeding cocktails to my wife experiment when she's had a hard day at work,
Yes.
which is just part of being a good husband.
Yes.
But right now I have two different jars containing lime related things going on in my kitchen.
Excellent.
One of them is the zest of probably like a few dozen limes sitting in basically Costco generic French vodka
Okay.
to make a lime-ish tincture that I'll mix with some, I could mix with some simple syrup to make basically a lime cello at some point.
I've done that. They're excellent.
It could be used as a flavoring tincture all by itself too.
Yes.
And I'm thinking of doing that as an aside for the other part, which is basically making a simple syrup with lime juice, except using lime juice instead of water.
Gotcha,
So one part lime juice, one part sugar. And that's mostly for my wife's cocktail. She really enjoys a gimlet. She also enjoys a margarita. And to get the orange part of the margarita, I'm thinking I'm going to take, a small part of the oranges in vodka, that I've got going on as well, and add that to the sweetened lime component to get the kind of the Contro
Yeah, the
triple secchi side of that in my margarita mix.
okay. Excellent. So you're going to take whole grain wheat and mix it with this?
I'm going to get flaked wheat.
Okay.
That is a thing you can get at Bacchus. So I will probably do. Do you have a constraint for how big of a batch you're looking for?
No, I mean you can make this a gallon batch.
Okay.
I want right. We have to write the recipe down. We've got to, because that's just what we do.
Yes.
But I want to, we if we can make a good gallon, or in my case two, because that's what I'm doing. If we can make a good gallon, we can make a good 50 gallon. If that is that what comes. What I want is I want just like you want the bomb pop memory with your mead.
Right.
So I have to use a very light honey, but I want the key lime. When I go to a nice place that has good key lime, and my meal is perfunctory. I'm looking forward to my key lime pie slice. That's what I want.
Key lime is one of the best pies in the world. Yes.
Yeah,
Yes.
I put it very closely behind my wife's spiced pear pie. But that's only because my wife makes it for me.
So, as far as sources go, again, we're talking out loud here, thinking out loud here. Sorry. Primary key lime. For key lime, for sources, I really want both the juice and the zest if I can manage it. I might settle for key lime juice and regular Persian lime zest just to get some of the more perfumey, oily, good stuff out of the zest that I really want. I gotta source that from somewhere. That's just my.
I mean, I'll be honest, if Amoretti has a key lime flavoroid, I wouldn't hold it against you. Because the key lime is tough, man.
Is.
It's
Yeah. And
tough.
yeah, no, getting the key lime right is going to be an important thing because there's a reason it's key lime pie and not just lime pie.
Yeah, exactly.
Pretty sure it's not just the Southern Florida Tourist Board. Yeah.
Yeah, when I gave an example earlier today when we talked about this, I said like a lemon chiffon. The more I thought about it, lemon chiffon's a delightful pie. I've never met a pie I didn't like for the most part. Comma, if I want something that's just a great experience, it's key lime.
Did I tell you about how I turned my wife on to key lime pies? Now, we just talked about how my wife really enjoys cocktails with lime in them.
Yeah.
Lime is one of her favorite flavors, I would dare say. She also really enjoys cheesecake.
Why wasn't this a done deal from the beginning?
That was my question because we were going out to eat maybe a year into dating. I ordered a piece of key lime pie because it sounded good.
Yeah.
And she goes, "Key lime pie? What? Ew, gross." And I'm like,
What?
"Excuse me?
What?
You like limes. You like cheesecake. Do you not realize this is essentially a lime cheesecake? This is a lime cheesecake."
Yeah.
And she's like, "You're no." And then I offered her a bite of my key lime pie. And she goes, "Oh,
Oh, okay.
I have been sleeping on this."
Yes, okay, I'm glad to
And
hear
so
that.
now when we go into Costco and there's the $18 key lime pie as big as a goddamn hubcap,
Yeah, it comes off, it goes right in the basket.
it does not, because there is a question of whether we would finish it in time before it goes bad.
Okay.
But
I'm more dedicated to key lime than you are, apparently, because that would not be a question for
apparently, but yes, she longs for it worse than I do
me. Okay,
many
I'm
times.
glad. No, my okay, the obvious question I want to ask right now is, did you get to keep your key lime dessert?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm impressed with how much your wife loves
She did have a pie of her own that she liked as pretty close to as well as key lime.
you. Okay.
Key lime pie is exceptional, though.
My question is, are you going to use lactose for your creaminess of this pie,
I
of this mead?
believe so. I'm
Okay.
going to dial this in. For secondary, for that graham cracker crust, we're talking flaked wheat. I'm thinking I'm going to go hard on this. I might go as much as a pound per gallon steeped. I will probably start at half a pound and see where that gets me. But
Okay.
I'm going to go heavy on this because I want that flavor to. The lime
I want to
is
be there.
sharp. It's going to cut. So it needs to have a backbone. It needs to be fairly strong. As far as that tertiary flavor of the, I don't know if creaminess is necessarily even a flavor so much as a like a mouthfeel kind of a
Yeah,
thing.
which is exactly what the.
We'll dial it in a little bit. We'll probably try a little lactose. We'll probably try a little glycerin just to thicken it out.
Yeah.
I have a feeling it's going to be a combination of both of those to get the achieved. This feels right, you know?
Gotcha. Okay. Well, you got any more of this? You ready to?
I think, let's see. Let's no, I think we have set our conditions, we've set our broad descriptions, and we've kind of talked through our processes here on how we want to approach it. So
Now let's talk about, this is our thought process, people. This is how we decide. I'm doing this thing. How am I going to get to this thing? We will, and I imagine a lot of people in the meat making community, they start with, this is my result I want, and work backwards, which is exactly what we just did.
Yes. This is my idea. How do I bring that to
Now,
fruition?
mind you, Tracy in Texas, she has a juicy fruit gum mead that I desperately want to make because juicy fruit gum, man. And she has a couple other recipes she sent me, and I have to, my computer is vast inside its memory. I need to find, but she told me I make a lot of 1 gallon test batches, pick the ones closest and tweak.
This is a, yeah, this, you don't have to be wearing a lab coat to take a scientific approach to stuff.
Yeah. By the same token, guys, we also talked to a gentleman at the Valkyrie Horn who made a oyster mushroom mead. Was that right?
Yeah, that's Tom
Yeah.
Lucas. And yes, I'm very curious.
And
This.
what in the mead world, it's not is what can you make, it's what do you want to make and can you do it. So this is our thought process of how we will construct something we've never done, because also the bomb pop beats has got me percolating here a lot, even to this very moment. What I've told you about getting the cherry vintners, the making a syrup from a lime, I'm probably gonna have to throw some zest in there for the punch that's gonna come.
I think you should. If nothing else, it will give you more aroma, you
Yeah,
know.
which would be awesome. But
Those aromatics are going to count for a lot.
for a lot.
They do.
But and I'm gonna try to make this chillable because bomb pop should be cold in
Yes.
some level.
I think if we're going to make like an 8-ish% beverage, it should be served in 12-ounce beer bottles and in a cold refrigerator
Yeah.
or cooler.
So, because we're in summer, we're thinking summer things, people.
Yes.
This works for if I decide to suddenly make a Christmas mead or a Halloween mead.
The advantage, though, is that we are recording this at relatively the start of July.
Yeah.
And so there may actually be some of summer left by the time we get to enjoy these.
Yeah. Especially with your lower ABVs, they don't need to sit as long, people. But you just don't.
It is not a direct scale. It is an exposition scale. Or, I'm sorry, an exponent.
Exponential
It
scale.
is an exponential scale. It's not a direct scale. It's an exponential scale for ABV because bear in mind, the more alcohol you've got in your fermenter, the harder it is to get the yeast to do their metabolizing and make more of it. And from there, these light little 8%ers.
Yeah, they can be absolutely fantastic straight out of the fermenter.
They
And
don't need to age.
yeah. So I hope it gave you food for thought. I'm mostly into the inside of how we do our process. Because when I first started, I did it the other way. I made my blackberry mead and I said, oh, let's throw some vanilla in there. Let's see what happens. I got lucky. I'm not going to tell you otherwise. Not only did I make a 7 gallon batch for my 7 gallon batch for my first round, horrible mistake. But I said, oh, I'm going to change this one thing at the very end. It worked out. Mead was very forgiving to me that day.
You think you made a mistake making a 7 gallon batch? I made a dry traditional for my first batch at about, I can't remember if it was 5 or 6 gallons, but I didn't make that much less than you did.
Okay, so
And
we jumped in with both feet.
yeah, I at the same time, I also made a like a 2 gallon IPA kit from a Mr. Beer, and
Dude,
it was okay.
yeah. Dude, you were cautious with the IPA, but not with your mead?
The Mr. Beer kits are 2 gallons,
Okay.
so but I had mentioned that I bought a mead kit, blah 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 blah, and I don't remember if it was my uncle or one of my mom's friends, but they were like, "Oh, I have this beer fermenting kit that I got. Do you want this?"
Yeah.
I'm like, "Okay,
I've actually
why
been
not?"
given a distiller at this point. I have no idea what to do with it.
You distill things.
No, but
It's even legal in this state,
yes, it is.
which
It
we are
is.
recording in, not the one you're
I
living in.
resided. So I may, you're saying I should be also bringing it over here to be legal about this.
Well, that, or we could use my distiller, which I've already got and I've not actually used for anything. We talked last week about the quick experiments I've got going on here. I didn't really talk about like what I have in mind, because the grapefruit is its own thing. The grapefruit tequila and lavender is that's just a concept all by itself. But I've got an orange blossom traditional that I'm also making with the Kvike, and that is for my hopping experiment. But I intend to keep repeating this. So right now I've got 3 gallons of Voss going, and then I'm going to do 3 gallons of another Kvike strain that I saw but I've never tried, called Jungle from Cellar Science, the same guys that do Purple.
Okay, what explain purple or jungle to me? I know purple.
Jungle is their name for their Voss strain, and I'm not sure if this is an individual strain they've sourced from somewhere. It has character that reminds me, flavor descriptor wise, of like Hothead, which is the one from Omega that has the mango character to it.
Okay.
And it has some flavor descriptors that are kind of more in that Espy f sphere, which is the other one that I've grabbed, because I didn't get to try Espy when that came out. I just wasn't brewing very much, and it kind of slipped under the radar there. But Espy has a really interesting flavor profile too. I'm going to do a round of that, and that's the flavor profile on that one is lychee, pear, and tropical fruit cup.
I'm intrigued.
Me too. And incidentally, if you would like any of the three of those, the 3 gallon traditional, so to speak, that I'm going to play with in secondary for other flavor purposes, that's an easy yeast to wash.
I'll take you up on that. I'll take you up on that. Hey guys, that's our process. You've delved into the minds of two lunatics here, obviously.
Or the two people that have been drinking a little bit too much, one of
Yeah,
the
take your pick.
two. Yeah.
Guilty on both counts. But
Probably.
guys, happy meeting. I hope you find something you want up in this episode, and hope you help your process of finding your mead. Because that's all what a lot of this is about, when you find the mead you really love and you want to do again and again. Anyway, Jeff,
Chris,
happy meeting.
cheers,
Take
buddy.
care, everybody.